It's all connected.
Grimier and Cirque. Yeah, folks, it is all connected, and we're going to do some of that connecting right here for you in case you haven't already connected it all yourself. But you probably have. Anyway, it's Monday, November 16th, 2020, right here on RealLibertyMedia.com and RLMRadio.xyz. I'm Grimner, and I'm here with my lovely co-host.
Cirque.
There you go. Haven't got that little...
Cirque.
Cirque-a-loo. Cirque. Cirque-a-leen. Your actual name is Cirque-a-leen, right?
Cirque-a-leen. Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, for the this morning here, just moments ago, we got information about our good buddy Sock Puppet down there in Florida. He's helped us out with a lot of stuff, and we got to wish him the best. Best send your good energies his direction. He's in the hospital apparently with some severe medical issues.
So good.
Yeah, so.
Sock Puppet.
Come on, Sock. Pull through. We don't need that. We've had enough tragedy here at RLM over recent years. I know we're all getting older, but and stuff happens.
Yeah.
But,
sadly.
Sadly. But we want you. We want you around over here. So fix that.
May you get many boat rides, more Sock Puppet.
That's right. Go get them big marlin or whatever it is you fish for.
Yeah.
And energy. Ooh, send my energy your way. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, maybe if Grimner, if you do really stupid stuff for a period, the gods will look at you and not at Sock Puppet.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not really good with stupid stuff, but. All right.
Damn.
Yeah, I think there's enough stupid people in the world that I don't need to. I don't need to do that.
No, you're probably right. Well,
best
wishes to Sock Puppet, anyways.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, today this is episode 18 of the It's All Connected program, and our topic today. Now, I was given 4 possible topic ideas, and I picked the one I liked the best. Not that it'll necessarily be the main topic of this show, but the topic today is, will giant meteor legalize cannabis?
Ooh. Yes. And Rob, I am kind of dark. I have a dark sense of humor, and I have a dark sense of rationalizing when really sad things happen.
Yeah.
And you really don't want the gods looking at you.
No, you're better off.
That's the shit gods do.
You're better off not being on their radar.
Yeah, that gods fuck you all.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So will giant meteor legalize cannabis, Grimner?
I know, but we'll get there. We'll get there. We're going to start off with topic idea number one, which is enhanced always better? I'm going to have to go ahead before we even get into it and before I understand what you meant by that and say no, because always,
no,
because putting the word always in there, nothing is always something. I mean, it all depends on the need of the person for whatever purpose, that whatever it is that you're enhancing. So what was your idea, your concept behind that question?
Well, I was thinking about, enhancing.
Enhancing.
That was pretty much it. The concept of enhancing. Because we seem to be trapped in this loop of enhancements.
Okay, well, give me an example.
Well, it's just, you know, we want to enhance everything. We want the enhanced monitors, the enhanced phones, the enhanced everything. We got this planned obsolescence, which is like built-in enhancements, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, for me, you mentioned phones there. I liked it better when there was before cell phones. I didn't like so. I did when they came out with beepers. Remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had one of those.
No, I didn't either. But people were walking around with their freaking beepers on all the time. Not everybody, just a few idiots, you know. But or I could understand it for things like, you know, people that are out on service calls or whatever, you know, plumbing or those kind of repair type things. Yeah, I can understand it for that. You know, okay, you got another job when you're finished with this one. Here's the deal, or you know, whatever. Call the office. No, I'm not a fan of cell phones and this total connectivity, where it's an electronic leash. That's the way I look at it.
But don't you also think that all this we're enhancing nature?
Well, we can't really enhance nature now, can we?
No, but I remember one of my favorite movies is like a French movie, and it's called Microcosmos. It was made in the 90s or something, and they pretty much just enhance nature.
How do you
enhance? They go in with these macro lenses on their cameras, and then they did a 2-hour movie about bugs and insects and slugs and how everything looked in the microcosmos, right?
Okay, but how do they enhance it?
Because it was a way better experience. It was an enhanced experience of nature, though.
Okay, so...
it was so pretty.
Okay, so it was just enhanced view. A view was enhanced. They didn't actually enhance nature.
No, they didn't do anything to nature. I don't know. They filmed it.
Okay.
But it was an awesome experience, right? I hear about enhanced sounds, right? Because I was looking for... I'm trying to decide whether... this is a big choice in my life. Whether or not to go with plug-in headsets or earphones for when I go to work, and then the ability to wear a hat, or keeping my earmuff, a hat, like for winter.
Okay.
Or wearing my big ear headset, which doesn't allow for a hat, and then I gotta crochet myself a hoodie.
All right.
It's a big choice, though, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Well, it determines my whole winter outfit, though.
But I mean, do you wear your headset on the train?
Always.
Really?
I always listen to music or books or stories or something on the train, yeah.
Okay.
So you can see if I have little ones I plug in, I can wear a hat.
I was
looking at these headsets, trying to decide whether or not I'm going to be a hat person this year, right?
So what you need is a hat with a headset built in.
That would not in any way look good. I already thought about that. I tried drawing a couple, figure out, can I do that? No.
Okay.
I don't think so. But then, you know, everything was enhanced sound, right?
Well, I like enhanced sound. I like crystal, you know, clear, high fidelity sound.
But doesn't it just get more and more artificial, though?
Well, no, I mean, I don't know, does it?
That's my question.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you know, if you take the old analog type recordings, like an album or tape or whatever, that were analog. They sounded great as long as everything was fine and crystal clear, but they generally weren't always fine and crystal clear. because with albums, you know, you wind up with pops and clicks and things like that. And with tape, you wind up with hiss from the heads that you get. Mm-hmm. But with digital, you miss out on some of the finer nuances depending on the recording sample rate. So, I mean, if you're talking about 128 kbits, then it sounds okay, fine on most systems. But if it's a 320, a lossless recording, then you get a lot more. But so is that better than, I mean, hearing it live and natural and that? So, I mean, obviously you can't beat live, right?
No.
Because that is...
But the more we enhance things... Well, I understand the music became artificial in the moment we recorded it, though, right?
I would say so, yeah. I mean...
Yeah, but then does the enhancement make it more and more artificial?
I don't think so. I don't
not
think
even
so
if it's
that.
Food, though?
Well, that's different. That's... You're not... Because, I mean, what they do with food is not really enhancement, in my way of looking at it. I mean, if you take, like, an ear of corn and you put all these various chemicals and additives and crap on it, then those things are not natural, and that's not, to me, enhancement. That's detriment. That's degrading the quality. But I guess they would call it enhancement, and I guess for... certain purposes, it would be enhancement. Like it would last longer in storage or things like that. But it does bad things to your body because
fight diseases, right?
Fight diseases or cause diseases. I mean, a lot of the stuff they do to the food, the water, the air, it is, I guess. In certain ways of viewing it, enhancement, but in other ways, it's very bad for you. So,
because I would sort of claim that enhancement, in a way, in most ways, is the process of making something artificial.
Maybe. Let's look at it from a drawing perspective. You're a drawer. You're an artist, right?
Yes.
Okay. So if you had just like a chunk of coal or charcoal to draw with, you could do some kind of stuff, but you couldn't really get your point of view across as well as if you had like the full-on pencil or pen set, brush set, whatever it is you use. So you've enhanced that piece of charcoal into something that makes you be able to express your point of view better.
Yes, but if I was gearing my whole process after enhancing my art, right?
Right.
Then I very soon I would be doing everything in the computer, though.
Would you?
If it was solely with the with the goal of enhancing my art. I would.
Okay. Well, then you probably use those like Wacom tablets that you could draw on, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you get the same type of image you would get doing it freehand on a piece of paper with whatever implements you use to create the art?
It would not be the same though, right?
Right. It wouldn't be the same,
but you have a lot more possibilities on one of those. But what
sure.
You don't have is you don't have the physical process of actually building up a drawing.
Right. No, you don't. So, I guess the computer enhances it with your possibility level, but. It takes away, I think, a bit from your the way that you would do it on a piece of paper.
Well, look at it with photography, though, right? We enhanced the shit out of photography by making it digital.
Digital photography has advantages.
When I learned how to photograph, I was learning in school, and it was like this big old camera. You had to put your hands in some bag to wind the film yourself. You put it in the camera. You took the pictures, and you only had so much and so many, and you had only one ISO quality of film in your camera, so you had to make sure the lighting was what you planned for it. And then you shot your pictures, and you only had that much amount. And then the tedious process started, right?
The
processing.
Yeah. The developing of the pictures and the film. And
yeah, the actual development. And that was one way. That was way, way more work.
It was
way
more
work. Difficult.
But the artistry was much greater. To me,
the process was amazing because you had it in your hands.
Yeah. You know, when I was a teen, I had I made a little dark room, black and white only. But I could do all kinds of great stuff. First you do with the filters and all the various stuff you do with the physical camera, and then you develop the film. Process of creating the prints, you could do all kinds of various things there too. And it was definitely a skill, a learned skill, where a lot of the stuff with the digital, you don't really need to be that skilled to do it.
No. And I did a lot of digital photo art too, but I'm just saying, because, you know, and people will say we enhanced photography, though. We brought it to the masses too. Everybody
right.
can now take a picture.
And they do.
Yeah,
and most of them, we just don't want to. I don't care what you had for breakfast. Don't take pictures of that and post them up on the internet. Keep your breakfast to yourself.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, all this artificial just took out a lot of that, the process of doing something, right?
Yeah, I mean, it does give you a lot more capability to do various things you could not do without it. But I don't know if that's, I mean, it's a variation, but is it an enhancement really?
No, I'm mainly getting to the point of how this focus on enhancement, it really ends up taking a lot away from us, though.
It does.
Because everything becomes very fast, very easy, very accessible.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, computers were supposed to make life easier for everybody, but I think in some ways they've actually made it a lot more difficult. I just think about before computers. You're old enough to remember before computers, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and most things were pretty simple. I mean, most of the activities you did were fairly simple, and you go and hang out with friends or go on a nature hike or whatever, and you didn't worry about having this digital leash on you all the time. And if you wanted to take photos out there, you had your camera, your analog film camera.
Yeah.
But
now everything is accessible, though, right?
Everything
it
is accessible.
It doesn't take anything to do anything.
But also the accessibility is also pretty much demanded at this point in time. Where it used to be the capability wasn't there, they couldn't demand that of you. If you went off for a weekend, you know, somewhere, there wasn't people trying to call you all the time while you're off enjoying your time.
No.
So the question, let me take another look at it here just so I can be sure I got the wording properly, is enhanced always better? Again, I'll say no. It is
no.
Sometimes better, sometimes not.
Yeah, and I think we have because it leads kind of into the next thing, though. The next question, right?
Okay.
Because I think that all this, we are enhancing everything, easing everything, making everything less and less bumpy.
Okay, so the question is, what are we growing on this planet? Right?
Yeah, what are we growing on this planet?
Well, and do you mean that as far as like plant life or human life?
Maybe in a more of a metaphysical way, though, right?
Okay.
So what are we nurturing and growing on this planet?
I hate and division seems to be the main course.
And laziness, too.
Well, yeah, sure. Laziness, lackadaisability. I don't know if that's not a word. So what are we growing? It seems to be going towards, you know, the total global connectivity, where somebody's always got a way to peer into your life and your way of doing things. And from what I'm understanding from this new stuff, it's also they want to be able to see directly into your thinking. Yeah, actually, I have an article here. This is posted on Summit News, summit.news. This guy.
Connectivity is such an interesting word there, right?
Oh, it's good and it's dangerous at the same time.
Yeah, it really is.
So anyway, considering what's going on in the world with all this corona nonsense, and various governments, the lockdowns and all that stuff. So this guy Schwab, who's a member of this global financial whatever, he says the Great Reset will lead to a fusion of our physical, digital, and biological identity. Implantable microchips that can read your thoughts. So it's globalist Schwab, Klaus, I guess he's a German, Schwab.
I read his books.
Made it clear that transhumanism, which is what we're growing, I think that's the main thing they're trying to grow at this point, is an integral part of the Great Reset. When he said that the fourth industrial revolution would lead to a fusion of our physical, digital, and biological identities, which in his book he clarifies is implantable microchips that can read your thoughts. So the Great Reset is attracting a deluge of fresh attention in the aftermath of the Corona Bologna plandemic, which Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said was an opportunity for a reset. So the agenda is primarily based around dismantling the current capitalist system in favor of greater centralized technocrat rule, which will lead to a lower living standard, less fuel consumption, fewer civil liberties, and accelerated automation of jobs, which more robots, less humans. However, another key aspect to the Great Reset, or the Fourth Industrial Revolution, as Schwab calls it, is merging man with machine. What the Fourth Industrial Revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, digital, and biological identities, which can't say that enough. Anyway, he went on to explain how his book, Shaping the Future of the Fourth Industrial Revolution, was particularly popular in China, South Korea, and Japan, with the South Korean military alone purchasing 16,000 copies. So, okay, and there's plenty more to the article, but so that's
and
what
he wrote some interesting books.
That's what we're growing on this planet is the concept of total connectivity, transhumanism, merging. Uh-huh. Human and machine.
That's enhancement. That's right there. It's an act of enhancement.
Well, it's an enhancement, but it's also very dangerous.
Yes.
I mean, do you want these chips that can read your thoughts implanted in you?
No, fuck no.
No, but see, that's what
no,
they're going
I
for.
I want to go. See, I want. See, this is the thing. They are going to technocracy, right?
Technocracy, right.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't want to go there.
I don't want to go there either.
No, I want to go back to something that's way more basic and solid in the, you know, connected to the ground.
Right. Is it connected to nature, the earth?
Yeah.
Right, and just natural stuff.
But that doesn't mean I don't like the robots though.
Oh, robots are cool. Yeah. And of course, you know, when they take over your means of gaining income, that's a kind of a problem, but
well, then I think we have a social we have a society and a community problem. Because there is no way it's a better world with human beings doing really, really dangerous, hard labor instead of robots doing it.
Okay, well, no, I understand that for certain things. Assembly lines, loading trucks.
Mining.
Digging ditches. Yeah, mining. Sure. Those things, great to have mechanical devices doing that rather than human labor. Except for that there's a lot of people that depend upon being able to do that labor in order to make a living.
Then we have to figure that out.
Yeah, that's a big issue. That's kind of a problem, which also goes back.
I think we can figure that out.
Which also goes back to the Brave New World situation. Again, if you haven't read that or seen the movie,
I have not yet.
That's a total technocracy in Brave New World. That's the type of government that it is. Went, I guess, a step further. I don't know, depending on where people like this Schwab are trying to go. But they engineered fetuses to be within a certain classification to perform certain tasks. You know, they had alphas, betas, gammas, deltas, and epsilons. And the epsilons were just smart enough to be able to go down into the nuclear reactors and work with nuclear stuff. They didn't last very long, obviously. And then they had the idiot deltas. I think they actually called them the idiot deltas. That were basically grown as hard labor, slave labor, domestics and those kind of things. And so,
but don't you think we can turn it around, though? Don't you think? Because there is a lot of other things that we are growing on this planet, too, though.
Like what?
Well, like love.
Okay,
creation and just the natural joy of when you connect to nature. Because I haven't met one single person who didn't feel better after connecting back to nature.
Well, that's true. But do you see that as something growing or shrinking?
Well, I think I'm actually seeing that the need for these pockets of not being connected to the artificial world, but being very connected to the real world, is becoming an increased demand, right?
Okay, but tell me this. You used to live in the city.
Yes.
And now you live in the country.
Yes.
So when you were living in the city, did you get the feeling that more people were connecting to nature?
No, I got the feeling that more people were getting back to the ground, to like grounding with nature, yes.
Okay. Because when I lived in San Diego, people all seemed pretty much like automatons, just going about their daily whatever.
There are plenty of people who do that too.
Yeah, but out here in no man's land, Timbuktu.
But with all this time, you see, all this automation though, right? It should buy us a lot of time.
It should.
And with all that time, all that time we should spend on doing something that, you know, makes good and that is very real.
But for
you bake bread, right?
I do.
that whole process of making those ingredients into the process, and you end up and you put your labor and your care and your knowledge and your skill into it, and you end up with a certain kind of bread the way you wanted it.
Right, but for most stuff, for most bread that I make, all I have to do is just dump a bunch of stuff into a machine and it makes the bread for me.
But why would you do that, though?
Because it's so easy. It makes really good bread. It's really good bread, for, you know, depending on what ingredients you put into it. But, yeah. So, I mean, that's really my thought process is, okay, what am I going to add into the bread this time in order
so you
that,
don't do any kneading or feeling?
The machine does
or...
all that. I do kneading for, like, if I'm making banana bread or if I'm going to make pizza dough or other, you know, types of things. Cookies, I need that dough. Yeah, sure. But for your average loaf of bread that you're just going to make sandwiches with or toast or whatever, the machine does a very fine job of it.
I would never do that, though.
Okay.
See, you are a lazy technocrat, Grimnir.
I am. I'm very lazy. But, okay, anyway, back to the thing that you said, all this technology should make all these things easier and give us more time and all that. But yes. What I've seen, my personal experience with the computers coming into the workplace and your improved productivity, they just want more and more productivity out of you. Well, now you're doing what you used to do in 8 hours in 3 hours. So we need to see more productivity out of you. So you're going to do what you were doing, you know, in 8 hours before in 3 hours, but you're going to do it for 8 hours so we can get, you know, over double the amount of productivity out of you within the same time frame. So you don't really get any more free time yourself. The company gets more profit.
But that's because, and in you know, if we are to be completely fair, right? I think we talked about this last week too. The whole, you know, it's what 20% of the labor hours in a modern society goes into actually producing something.
Probably, I don't know. I mean, if you look at people on the production floor, they're pretty much working 8 hours a day. If you look at people up in the administrative areas, the offices, there's a lot more time chitter-chattering with coworkers and goofing off or going to meetings, which are like waste of time, generally speaking.
And you got a whole line of business like the one I work in.
We don't
even produce anything.
You do economic stuff, right?
I'm in finance.
Yeah.
It doesn't produce anything real. That means anything to
anybody. But what you produce helps other people produce stuff better.
Yes.
Right.
Well, I'm in retirement, though, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's retirement. Retirement savings.
All right. So then that helps other people live better down the road.
Yeah, but as a society as a whole... the whole money thing doesn't contribute with anything. It's an artificial thing that we created. You know, it's like having a hammer the size of the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
It's not really all that practical. It takes a lot of resources, and you got to be like a million people to put in a nail.
Okay.
So there is so much of all, you know, at all the labor hours in a society, there is so much of that. That are just pseudo. It isn't really doing anything.
Yeah.
If we really wanted, you know, if we as humans, we said, we really want to use all this technology and all this enhancement that we build all over everything. If we wanted to use that to maximize the time spent on planet Earth, you have to think and do arts and create and live and be happy and pursue your interest and keep the work and labor to a bare minimum, right?
Right.
We could do a whole lot better than these 40-hour work weeks.
Sure. Yeah, no, I mean,
you have all this artificial stuff on top of it.
Okay.
Because what there is, you know, what we really need is, you know, the resources that you use for a life and you use for living and for creation and for doing and for being alive, right?
Right.
That doesn't take a whole lot of labor to produce.
Not really. No.
You have all these other people who on top of it are having to get their, you know, their jobs administering all this.
Right. And that's way too heavy on the balance of the labor that's being done.
You were the one who reported on the Bank of Germany coming out saying that we have to put a tax on non-consumption, right?
I don't know if that was me or not, but it sounds like something I would say.
Because the Bank of Germany just came out this week and said proposed a tax on 5% on working from home.
Oh, right. Anytime that you get that you're being benefited by some way that they're not getting a slice of, they want a slice.
Well, the model behind that is that the Western economies can't afford that about 60% of its workforce doesn't travel and consume.
Right.
So the economies can't handle less consumption. So in order for that to balance out, then they need you to pay an extra 5% in tax if you're working from home to balance it out because of all the consumption you would do.
Right, and they consider them not being able to steal X amount from you a loss to them.
Yeah. And it just goes to show you can't, our economies, that's what the Bank of Germany really said, is that our economies, which is yours and mine and all the other ones that we are living under, are so growth and consumption based that they really can't handle a stagnation.
Right.
Which is insane.
It is insane, yeah. I mean, the constant idea of having to always grow in order to stay alive is nonsense to me. It's always been nonsense to me. It never made sense that, you know, looking at the stock market, the way it used to be before it became as manipulated as it is now, where the only way a stock's value would go, or price would go up, not value, but the stock's price would go up, is if that whatever company the stock was tied to had X amount of growth. And the more growth that company had, the more the stock went up in price. Again, not value.
And growth being an increased gap between what you spend and what you profit, right? Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, you know.
So no matter, you can do that by lowering the production cost or increase your prices, right?
Right. Yeah. So if the price went up, your stock would go up. If you laid off a whole bunch of workers, your stock price would go up.
Because you increased the gap between your spending and your income.
Right.
Yeah. Which is insane.
It's absolutely insane. But that's how the stock market works.
It's how every growth-based anything works, though, right?
Yeah, well, and most of those are based upon... Well, see, if you're like a small, independent company, you like growth. Sure, it's fine, but you don't need it to survive. I mean, if you've got a good customer base that always comes in and you can maintain that customer base, you'll keep on doing business fine at a certain level. If you then go public with your company... then you're expected to do constant growth. So, I guess I guess that's what you're meaning on that.
But because the last 15 years you got the startup economies, though. And these startup economies, they're pretty much just in a race. Because they're buying customers, right? Because they need their growth gap to be so big that somebody will invest in them. And since every investor just looks at the growth, they might look a little bit about the product and what's its opportunity gap in and its timing into some market, but they pretty much, as you say, look at the growth, right?
Yeah.
So they're buying customers.
Exactly.
If you look into all these startups, they have a key performance indicator that really is the acquisition of you know, the cost of acquiring new customers.
Yeah.
Because they're just inflating everything. So everything is just overly grown and artificial to the point of nothing is real.
So that really goes into the next topic there. Do we really want growth?
Yeah, do we really want that?
Well, in some things, I suppose, but again, you can't be absolutist about anything. Hey, wait a minute, I just said that sounded like an oxymoron going on there.
because if you look at, well, this is what one of the biggest mysteries to me, right? Well, it's not really a mystery, but if you look at the whole talk about the climate change and the CO2, and we have to lower the CO2 levels and lower our resource spending, right? And none of those people, especially not that Greta Thunberg lady, right?
Well, see, I don't
none
believe,
of those people talked about planned obsolescence.
I don't believe in the whole CO2 global warming nonsense.
No, I understand that, but you would agree that we do overproduce and we pollute the shit out of the environment, right?
Oh, absolutely, and a lot of it is waste. Most of it goes to waste.
Right now they're working on the phones that they're going to come with in 3 years. They're
right.
Already done with the one they're doing in 2 years, but they're not releasing it because they want to do the ones they're doing next year first.
Right.
Which is insane, which is an insane way of spending resources, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all these phone crap going to 5G, 6G, 12G, whatever.
But it's in every piece of it's in everything stuff you buy. They build in planned obsolescence.
Sure. And it used to be, didn't used to be that way, obviously. You could buy a car that would last for 40 years if you took care of it properly. And now, there's some crap is designed to break after a certain period of time.
Yeah, it is said, I don't know if it's true, but it is said that in Russia, people traded more with the scrap parts for the Trabant cars they drove there than they did the rubles.
I would bet that would be true, yeah. Anytime you have a...
That it was a more reliable currency to have some parts for the cars.
Yeah, I believe that to be true, and it could go that way, here in the U.S., depending on how this situation, I mean, they keep on shutting down businesses everywhere and driving people out of business. Wouldn't the whatever this reset crap is, great reset crap, happens, you're going to find a lot of people that are destitute. And if they have certain things, whether that be car parts or food, tools, whatever, they'll at least have some trading currency, trading capital there.
But see, we are not resetting the ruling class, though, right?
No, of course
not. And the old bloodlines are not getting resetted. No.
They're the ones doing the reset.
others.
they're not the ones being reset. They're just doing the reset.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, I mean, growth in some things is fine, but just doing growth.
It really
growth
depends on what you're growing, though, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
And as I said at the beginning, what I see growing mostly is a lot of hate and division. That's what I see growing from my perspective, the way I read the news and see the world out there. As people are coming, they're becoming more self-obsessed, greedy.
Do you think we are being grown? You think there is somebody growing and that you're like we're the petri dish they're growing all this hate into?
Well, you know, yes, I do. Through the various methods of communication that we are allowed to view or see. They want to create hate and division because that gives them more power, because they could say, look, these guys over here, that don't do exactly what we want, they're the bad guys, and the guys on the other side will point back to the other way. And so they can divide you in all kinds of various ways, whether it's age, gender, color of skin, religion, nationality, all kinds of various things that they can point at and group you in. That's why collectivism is such a nasty thing. But people love their collectivism. They want to be part of some group or another, or many groups, so that they can hate on the ones that are not part of their group.
Because that's, you know, we are now looking at an American president, right, who claims he's going to unite people.
Well, not quite.
And
a,
that scares
not,
me
not,
because
not,
usually
not quite
when...
a president. He's not quite a president.
Oh, well, sure he is.
No, he's not.
The rest of the world already decided. Grimmie.
Yeah, I don't. But
you're just being a stubborn American.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Is
the world society
some people are out there and they're really upset that this guy is going to be president or that guy should have been. And it's like, who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Who?
I'm just saying, I get a little worried when the president of America is going to unite the people.
Yeah.
It's usually when presidents unite people, it's usually against someone else.
Right. Well, it's unite under his way of thinking.
Against those people over there.
That don't think that way.
Yeah.
Right.
So that scares me a little.
Yeah. Well, collectivism is one of the biggest issues, obviously, when you decide that this age group can... be this way or that way, or if you have a certain skin tone, you're good or bad. Not ever actually getting into the ideas too much of what people believe or think and why they believe and think those things, because most of that's due to the programming that's been pushed into them in their whole life. So
I'm just saying, from my experience in life.
Yeah.
Every time, and I don't mean this to be like anti-American, but it is a little bit anyways.
Right.
just putting out a disclaimer. But when Americans unite, usually we see a ton load of wars everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
That usually sends millions of people into refugees
because
war and hunger and all this.
Because do you know what unites Americans, generally speaking?
Yeah, war.
But why? But I mean, prior to that war, the Americans have to get behind it, right? They have to decide it's a good idea.
Yeah.
But mostly what Americans get behind is some enemy, some unseen enemy, some dark dude somewhere in some part of the world, and he wants to do us harm. That's what they'll tell you. So you all get behind, oh, this guy's bad. He wants to come and attack us. So we're going to go over there and bomb the holy hell out of him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Moose Girl, but America is the number one war regime on this planet.
Well, beyond any doubt.
Beyond it, you know.
Yeah.
You got plus 1,000 bases in the world.
But there are
all
others,
over the globe.
There are others that would like to take that title from America.
Yes.
And they would love to be the big war machine. But for whatever reason, they can't. I don't know. or they haven't yet.
Yes.
But with this great reset, who knows where that's going to wind up, where that's going to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, right, and if you have to look behind the cover, the face of what you're being told, to find out who's really pushing these things, and it's not the people, it's not your politicians. It always comes back to the banksters running the world. And they run both sides of the war. They create the enemy on one side, and they create the ones that will go and attack that enemy on the other side. And up to this point, over the last 70 years or so, it's been the U.S. And that could switch. That could be somebody else coming up soon. Coming soon
and
to
I'm none of you people are in that.
Are in what?
Are in that whole war machine.
Everybody's in the war machine, whether you like it or not. I mean,
well, it's not you people. It's not you people.
You people, what?
It's just a ruling class acting upon us.
Right.
So it's the state. It's the it's the nation of America.
It's the state
it's
above the state.
Nothing to do with the lovely Yankees who live there.
But it's not actually the nation of America. The nation of America is just a tool that is being used by those
yes,
that are really running
upon.
The show. Yeah. So
it's completely acted upon.
Yeah. So that's you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's get to our last topic here, because this is big, this is important. And this is the title of the show.
Right.
Will giant meteor legalize cannabis?
Will he?
Well,
will it?
Well, see, he...
it?
Well, I guess it all depends on how well it works out. If giant meteor destroys the infrastructure of the modern society, well, cannabis is not necessarily legalized, but ain't going to be anybody there to stop you. There won't be no prohibition going on. So it depends on the effects, the accuracy, the,
yeah.
You know. The,
but
the,
would people vote for giant meteor if it promised to legalize?
Giant meteor does not care about your votes.
It don't
care. If it comes, if it decides to head its way here, then it wipes out, like, let's just say it just ruins the entire electric grid of the
yeah.
world. At that point, smoke all the weed you want. Ain't gonna be nobody there to stop you.
Okay, then I'm gonna live my life as if giant meteor can come every moment.
And yeah, sure, it can. And you can have all the nature you want. Everything will return to nature without the electric grid out there, which is allows them to do all these things that they do. And of course, that powers the financial grid and all the other bad stuff that they do.
But nature would look a little different, though.
Oh, yes. Yes, it would look very different. Because nature would start to take back over at that point. And a lot of, you know, things, humans, animals, fauna, yeah. flora, would not survive.
No, you'd have some big waves.
So you'd have other issues to deal with. Oh, well, probably big waves, depending if it landed in the ocean or not. depending on how,
sure, no matter where it landed,
depending on how giant meteor was.
Talking dinosaur, dinosaur like size meteor, right?
Yeah, sure, yeah, a global killer, yeah.
Yeah.
So the population.
Is that not what are you thinking? Like its smaller cousin?
Oh no, I'm not thinking that. I mean, unless you could direct. Giant meteor to split into a bunch of pieces and only go after the capitals of every state.
You're doing a smart meteor.
Smart meteor, yeah.
Like those smart factories and yeah. smart cities.
The smart,
fourth industrial revolution.
Yeah, the smart meteor that just wiped out the state wherever it went and left the rest of the people going.
That's called the Larkin Rose Bomb.
Okay, but at that point, yes, but, you know, giant meteor would, not the word legalize, I've never been real fond of, but yeah, it would make it, it would end prohibition of everything that you're currently prohibited to do, because some...
Yeah, and breathing too, maybe.
Well, yeah, see, but that at that point, you don't really care about weed, do you?
No, but breathing.
Right, but I'm saying if you can't breathe, you're not really concerned about weed.
That's true. It might be the last thought. I did never smoked enough weed.
Well, yeah, there's never enough. I mean, what's enough?
Yeah. So you wouldn't actually vote for Giant Media then, Grimnir?
No more than you would vote for Cthulhu.
Would it matter, though?
See, Cthulhu don't care.
Cthulhu.
Cthulhu.
Who is that?
Oh, I need to educate you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, no. I'm being educated.
Oh, but Cthulhu is a fictional creature, one of the old one, the aged one. It's from a story, an old story, The Call of Cthulhu. It will just kill whoever, everybody.
What? But does it disco dance? Because it sounds like it's going to disco dance.
It could. If Cthulhu wants to disco dance, it'll disco dance.
Can you hear that? Sounds like a Boogie Town kind of dance.
Take me to Cthulhu Town. I don't know. But just like Giant Meteor got a following, elect Giant Meteor 2016, 2020, whatever, there was also a Cthulhu following. So look it up. It's Cthulhu. Cthulhu. You'll see all about it. It's one of the greatest, I'd say horror stories, but I don't know. I wouldn't really classify it so much. Anyway. No. All right. We're gonna wrap it up with that nonsense there. Again,
I'll say this much.
Okay.
If Giant Meteor won't legalize cannabis, I am not going to vote for it.
And again, it doesn't care.
Damn. But it's a vote.
You can vote, yeah. And vote hard. Vote and vote hard.
It will change the world. We are changing the world vote by vote, Grimnir.
Oh, of course. Vote changes so nothing. Anyway, so again, Sock Puppet, get well, man.
Yeah.
Heal.
Much
heal.
Love, Sock Puppet.
Be better.
Yeah.
Do not
heal.
Let this, whatever this is, get you.
Hey, and gods, go look at Biden. See, Biden just won. Go play with him.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Does it bother you when I say that?
Well, he won. Nobody won nothing. Yeah. There was never going to be any winning on that. It's all picked and selected from those banksters.
I kind of figured I hit a few of your strings with that little line just there.
You know, whatever.
Biden won.
I've been strummed. All right. Oh, boy. So check the schedule on reallibertymedia.com, rlmradio.xyz.
To Sock Puppet.
What?
Send love to Sock Puppet.
Send your love to Sock Puppet. Send your healing energy, your vibes. Come on, Sock Man.
Yeah. He might not be a nice guy, but he's a really great guy.
Right, exactly. He's not a nice guy, but...
he's not a nice guy, no.
You know, he don't pull no fucking punches, man. He tells truth.
He's not nice, but he's a great guy.
Yeah, so, I mean, whatever. And what else? Got anything else? Let's see. Well, we'll be back next Monday. Same bat time.
And in between there are other people who will be back and saying...
Yes,
really
there will.
Silly stuff, too, and sometimes serious stuff on the radio.
Yeah, and on Thursday, I mean, you get the Dropping Your Coil show, and Rob Works, his good buddy, will be on the show with him talking about stuff with Larry and Flash. And, and you know, if people want to just come up, pop up and do a show during tomorrow or Wednesday when there's no scheduled shows, go ahead, do a show.
Do a show.
Yeah, and then I'm not sure when. I think the beginning of the year, the Dark Table will be back when Grammy gets done with her family stuff. And Sunday we that get, you know, the Blues. Nice. Oh, Friday night, Freakers Ball. Did I mention that?
Yeah. No, you didn't. Freakers Ball on Friday. Boop, boop. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, check the schedule. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. It's been fun. And we will talk to you all next week, I guess. All right. Peace.
Yep.